listen to my earthly song until that day when I adore you, when I have joined the angel throng and learned with choirs of heaven to sing eternal anthems to my King.
Good morning. The Lord be with you. Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. It's good to see all of you. Good to be with you this morning for worship. It is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. We will be following the order of service as it's printed before you. We'll continue now with the confession and the absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for us, and for His sake He forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth.
Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us, you are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer, for you alone are the Holy One, you alone. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of the covenant, in our baptism, you call us to proclaim the coming of your kingdom. Give us the courage you gave the apostles, that we may faithfully witness to your love and peace in every circumstance of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our family hymn this morning is Kumbaya. This morning will be Helena Geisen. May God open our hearts to receive the word he speaks to us through Helena.
The first reading is from the second chapter of Ezekiel, verses 1 through 5. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says,' and whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
Please join in the responsive reading of Psalm 123 as is printed in your worship bulletin.
I lift up my eyes to you who sits enthroned in heaven, as the eyes of the slaves look to the hand of their master. As the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress,
so our eyes look to the Lord our God,
till he shows us his mercy.
Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us.
For we have endured no end of contempt. We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant, of contempt from the proud.
The second reading is from the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verses 2 through 10. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassing great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand, if able, for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 13. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
We confess our faith together now in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
Please join us after the confession. As we sing our sermon hymn, Hark the Voice of Jesus Calling, hymn number 318 in Lutheran Worship. I'm sorry. This is Your Hour with God, broadcast live on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, Depew, New York, at exactly 1300 on your AM dial, WXRL.
The Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Please have a seat.
Thank you.
We have a slight change in our service this morning, so I apologize for the mistakes I made during the Apostles' Creed.
Dear friends in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text I chose for the sermon this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 10. So let me ask you to start things out today. Let me ask, what makes Christianity unique to all the world religions? From your perspective, what makes Christianity unique to all the world religions?
Our God lived, died, and rose.
Our God lived, died, and rose. Okay. The Bible, the inspired word.
We love,
we're called to love. Okay.
Hope of heaven.
Hope of what is to come in terms of life eternal and in the presence of Christ face to face. They can't find his body. Yeah, they can't find his body, and there's a good reason for that. Right? That's right. That's right. Anything else?
We're saved by faith.
Saved by faith.
We pray.
We pray. We have a place to turn to all the time, right? We have a God who is very personal. That's that message that we hear every year at Christmas time. Emmanuel, God with us. And so that relationship with God is personal, so we always have a place to turn. We always have someone we can turn to that we can talk to in prayer. Yep.
Peace,
there's peace, absolute peace in Christian faith, right? Anything else? The Trinity, yeah. The Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, yet three persons, co-equal. Yep, so that is very unique. That's a big stumbling block for a lot of people too, isn't it? You know, wait a minute, how is God one but three at the same time? And that gets people's heads spinning. But that's where faith comes in, isn't it? Yeah. You know, C.S. Lewis was asked this question. He had attended a conference. And there were people at this conference that were asked this same question. And they came up with all different kinds of answers. Well, C.S. Lewis came in kind of late, and he saw that things were kind of heated, because as people were starting to answer the question, you know, some people didn't agree with the question, other, you know, so it was kind of heated. And so C.S. Lewis, as it's told, said, "Why are you guys so heated? What's going on?" And somebody in the group said, "Well, we were asked the question, what makes Christianity unique to all the world religions?" And C.S. Lewis responded, he goes, "Well, that's easy." He says, "It's grace." That was his answer. Grace. And there is something absolutely amazing about grace, isn't there? Something absolutely remarkable about grace. Grace is God's love, His charity towards us, a very needing people. Grace. It's God's love made available to you and to me in Christ Jesus as a free gift. And the only reason that it was free is because, or the only reason it is free to you and me, is because Christ Himself paid the price. But either way, it becomes a free gift for us. And thanks be to God for that. Thanks be to God that Christ did pay the price. Because without it, boy, we would be separated. We would be searching. we would be lifeless if it wasn't for that grace of God. Grace, it's God's love made available to us even when we are at our lowest. Philip Yancey once said, "Grace, like water, flows to the lowest of parts." And thanks be to God, it does. Because without it, boy, would we be lost, hopeless, empty. Grace, it's God's love for us all the time. Grace, so sufficient for our every single season. And that's what Paul talks about in that second reading that we heard just a few moments ago, the sufficiency of grace, its abundance to us. And you know, as I thought about Paul speaking these words by the inspiration of the Spirit, of course, I couldn't help but to think if there was somebody who knew the need for grace, it was Paul. I mean, think about Paul's start for a minute. How did Paul start out? As Saul. And what was Saul? He was a persecutor of the church, wasn't he? He was a nasty man. He went after any Christian he could find, right? Paul needed that grace. You see, by way of himself, he would have never come to the faith, but that Spirit worked on him. And on that Damascus Road, you know how the story goes, right? That Damascus Road, he came to know Jesus for who he was. And then those scales, they fell from his eyes. And he saw. He saw the beauty of grace. He saw the power of Christ. He saw the need for forgiveness and the need for repentance. Through grace, God transformed Paul. And Paul became one of the greatest assets to the New Testament church, didn't he? He was a traveler. He went all over the place. He himself was persecuted, and Paul would tell you that. Paul is responsible for one third of the New Testament. You see, without grace, Paul would have been lost. But with grace, Paul had everything. And here's the thing. Knowing that he had everything through grace, knowing that he was rich in Christ, made all the difference for him as he came to terms then with the thorns in his flesh. That's what Paul talks about in this lesson. As Paul came to terms with those thorns or that thorn, he saw how significant grace truly was. As Paul suffered. Now, some people... it was probably a physical ailment, by the way, that plagued Paul. We don't know exactly what it is or what it was. I once read that some people thought that Paul suffered from epilepsy. I don't know. But either way, Paul suffered. And how grace, as he suffered, as he endured that thorn in his flesh, how that grace through faith reminded him that the same God who redeemed him, the same God who reached down to him, was the same God who would sustain him in that suffering. Now don't get me wrong. Paul pleaded. He pleaded. He said, "Three times I pleaded that thorn would be lifted from him, that it would go away." But God reminded him through faith that he wouldn't abandon him in that suffering. God reminded him that he would go to work for him. And God too reminded him that it would be that grace that would strengthen him in the presence of weakness. My friends, like Paul, we too are recipients of that all-sufficient grace, aren't we? And the abundance of grace is ours over and over and over again. Like Paul, you and I depend on that grace alone, especially when we find ourselves confronted with the consequence of sin. See, like Paul, left to ourselves and having to deal with our sin nature, we would be lost. But grace flows to the lowest parts, as Yancey put it. And how that grace then flows right to us. As our God in Christ reaches down in love, offering for us a solution, offering us forgiveness and life. How grace makes all the difference. And like Paul, how desperately we need that grace as we face the thorns in our lives too. And boy, oh boy, do we know those thorns sometimes, don't we? How we know the physical and emotional and spiritual thorns that can happen in life. Maybe like Paul, it's something that plagues you in your body. Maybe it's an achy back all the time, or whatever it may be. Maybe it's not that at all, but maybe it's a relational trouble that you're experiencing. Maybe it's a recent disappointment. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's worry. I don't know. Whatever the suffering, whatever the thorn, how those thorns can have us heavy in our hearts. And as we face those thorns, I suppose we could very easily despair. We can easily find ourselves as a people who just have nothing better to do but complain. We could be a people who are subject to anger as a result. We could be a hopeless people. But faith tells us differently. As you and I come to terms with those thorns and the sufferings of this life and this world, we too are reminded that God's grace is with us. And we're reminded that His grace will sustain us. You see, grace is our greatest resource, as it points us to God's love that never fails for you and me. As it points you and me to His never-ending presence, we may feel alone. But God's grace reminds us that He's with us, and that He's given us a community that loves us too. God's grace is our greatest resource as it points us to the newness that God can bring through some of the sufferings we experience. He doesn't cause it. But my goodness, can He work through it for our good. Grace. Grace is our greatest resource as it points us to an even bigger picture. You see, the present sufferings that we endure are only temporary. They're only temporary. And what is to come far outweighs any suffering we're enduring now. My friends, our God is with us. He doesn't leave us to ourselves and our weaknesses, so to despair. But He reaches down to us and He touches us. He touches us with His love. He touches us with His mercy. And He touches us with His presence. And He fills us. He fills us with assurance and hope. God has a remarkable way of working through weakness. He really does. Sometimes when we're in it, we can't see what good can come from it. But God is at work. And when we're moved through it by His grace, how we're strengthened all the more. If you don't believe me, just look to the cross. Just look up at that cross. There, friends, is the greatest example of strength and weakness that the world has ever known. Thanks be to God for His grace. For grace through His Son, which has secured life and forgiveness for you and me now and forever. And thanks be to God for His grace, which is our strength in our weaknesses. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The congregation's offerings are now being gathered by the ushers, and this morning's radio broadcast is sponsored and brought to you by Debbie and Marty Wisniewski in celebration of their 15th wedding anniversary, and God's blessing them with their children Joey and Julia, and many wonderful friends and family.
In addition to those who are printing the prayers in your worship bulletin, please also include Mary Warner and her friends. Mary asked for a special prayer this week as her and a bunch of her lady friends will be traveling over 2,000 miles on their motorcycles. So please keep them in your prayers that God would protect them, that He would send His holy angels to watch over them as they travel. We say a special word of prayer for Arlene Preston. Arlene has been suffering with some pretty significant back problems, so please keep Arlene in your prayers. We say a word of prayer for Rick Maybeck's sister-in-law, and particularly we pray for Rick's sister-in-law's brother, who was in town this week for the funeral. And apparently he was working in the garden with some fuel and was burned. pretty severely. So he's in a burn center at this time. So please, I don't know the name of her brother-in-law, her brother, but God does. So just please keep the family in your prayers, not only as they mourn the death of Becky's brother, but now as they deal with this matter. We say a word of prayer for Ed after Buffalo and the family as Ed mourns the death, and the family mourns the death of Ed's mom this week. We also say a word of prayer for the after Buffalo family and the Marcotte families as they mourn the death of Charmaine's friend Kathy. And last but not least, we say a prayer of thanksgiving. You ready? We make the drum roll. Come on, hit the pews, drum roll. We say a prayer of thanksgiving at the birth of Sam and Randy's baby boy, Austin Gabriel. He was born on Tuesday, July 3rd in the evening, coming in at 6 pounds, 8 ounces, right? Did I get that right? Mom and baby are doing well. So we rejoice in God's gift of life. We rejoice on this baby. There is a certain very, very happy grandma that's sitting in the pews today too. With all thankfulness to God for His presence, His power, the gift that He's given to the family. So for the Surface family, as they rejoice in baby Austin. Let's pray. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and who promises to hear our prayers. Holy Father, keep all of us who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, that we might hear and believe your word of truth. We pray especially for the Bartell, the Bauer, Biardi, Beck, and Benson families, and all others from our congregation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, your Son taught us that he came not to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. Teach us to treasure your commandments, to turn from our sinful ways, and to love what you have commanded. Strengthen us in times of temptation, so the lures of this world never separate us from you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Father, when we face opposition for living as your children, grant us courage to remain faithful and to trust your promises. Thank you for all who lived and died trusting in Jesus and his salvation. Teach us to follow their example, that others might see our works and glorify you, and that we might live and die with the bright hope of the resurrection with and through Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Lord, you have reconciled us to yourself so that we might be restored and have new life with you. Reconcile us also with our brothers and sisters in Christ so that as we work together doing your will, the world might see in our mutual love a reflection of your own. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father of all compassion, be the strength of those who suffer. Heal those who are sick and injured, facing surgery, those who are recovering. We pray also for those who are in grief. Today we pray for the After Buffalo family, the Marcotte families. We pray for Arlene. We pray for Rick's sister-in-law's brother who was burned. Lord, we pray for all of those who are printed in our worship bulletin, our friends, our family members, and anybody else that we name before you in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, good and gracious God, all life-giving God, today our hearts are singing as we rejoice in the gift of the child that you have given to Sam and Randy and the family. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for the birth of Austin this past week. We pray that your Spirit would rest on him who all his days, that he might grow and live in faith and be your servant. Lord, we pray your blessing upon the family as they rejoice in him, but as they prepare to nurture him in the faith. Send your Spirit upon all of them that they might be always mindful of the gift that he is. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for Mary. We pray for Mary and her friends as they travel all these miles on their motorcycles in the next couple of weeks. Lord, we pray that those holy angels would be sent and that they would rest on the wheels and the handlebars and all the other parts of that motorcycle, that they might be led to their place in safety. Lord, we too pray that you would bring them back here to be with us in safety just as well. Lord, in your mercy. All providing God be with Donald, our president, and all those serving the armed forces, especially William and Tracy from our congregation. Be their strength and keep them safe. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, because Jesus died and rose for us, hear our prayers and answer in the way that you know to be best for us. For we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We pray together now as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. My friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
always a joy to be with you. Always look forward to being with you. So I do pray that you've been blessed this morning in worship. Quick couple of things before you head out for the week. And I do have about 5 minutes to kill, so to fill the airtime here. But anyway, why don't I just kind of start out with for the radio listeners, because last week on the radio, you heard me say, "Someone please call 911." Heard, right? And I went back and I listened to the CD. It was very clear, by the way. But anyway, obviously, Sam had a medical incident here in church, and shortly after that, she was admitted at Sisters, and she stayed right through until she delivered the baby on Tuesday evening, right? It was about 10:30 or so, like 9:15. I got the text at like 10:30, I think it was. So everything went well. Who knows what happened? It could have been the heat. It could have been just lack of heating that caused her to pass out. Or it could have just been she said, "It's time to go. I got to get to the hospital." But anyway, Sam is doing well. Austin is doing well, as I understand. I posted a picture up on the bulletin board. That's a picture that Randy sent to me of you holding Austin. So that's up on the bulletin board, so check it out if you want to see a picture of the baby. So after all this happened last Sunday, Randy sends me a text message. I didn't tell you this part. And he says, "Well, Pastor," he says, "this should be some kind of indication to you to keep your sermon short." Right? And I said, "No." So I replied back to him. I said something along the line of, "See, Randy, you got it all wrong. You got it all wrong, my friend. Sam was slain by the Spirit because the sermon was so good." So anyway, they're doing well, and we look forward to meeting Austin when the time is right for him to be here. Being selfish, I can't wait to believe that I can baptize him. I'm looking forward to that. And so, Deanne, Pat, and the family, we rejoice with you today. We really do. It's nice to know that you've got another addition to the St. John's family here. So, suck every minute of it in and give our love to Sam and Randy. Of course, if you want. Okay. Announcements. It's all up on the bulletin board. There's a couple big events that are coming up. There's a boat tour that's coming up. There's a double-decker murder mystery bus ride that's coming up. There's a family ministry event that's going to be happening. All the specifics and that stuff is up on the bulletin board, so check it out. If you're interested in attending, make sure you get your name on those side sheets so we can plan accordingly. The only thing that we kind of have in the holding pattern at this point is the church picnic. We're waiting on a confirmation of the dates. But this year, it will be sometime in August. I can't find it here. So just kind of keep that on the back burner right now. And hopefully we'll have some more details. Before the service started, this is out a little bit, but I'll get it into your minds now. Joe Beaumont handed me a little flyer. There is an event at the Riviera Theater where Joe plays. It's coming up on August 1st at 7:30 p.m. It's an organ silent movie type deal. Joe, I don't know if you want to just speak on it.
Well, actually, it's a concert that features all the house organists. I'm one of the house organists, and I'll be kind of playing cleanup, the last organist in the rotation. They do have a silent movie. They also have a sing-along, some surprises. It's a free concert. It's August 1st at 7:30 p.m. at the Riviera Theater. It's air-conditioned in case it's like last week. So it's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it myself. Hopefully folks can make it out there.
Yeah. So, yes, August 1st, Riviera Theater, Joe, along with a bunch of other organists, will be playing that day. Free concert, air-conditioned. maybe a group of us can get together and make a way out there to show our support. You've been trying to get me out there for a while, you know, and I'm on vacation. I'm coming out of town. But anyway, hopefully you guys can work something out and go out and contribute more to your support. Okay? Anything else we can go to the group? That gives us strength at 9:30, right where I want you to be. Anything else? We good? Have a blessed week. Go with peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.